Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And as promised, Dr. Greg Pupchek, our guest. More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Pupchek. Mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Dr. Pupchek, also the author of a whole bunch of books. As a matter of fact, if you look on Amazon, almost all of the books are written by Dr. Greg Pupchek. It's amazing. Today we're going to talk about one of his books, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. But that will be the book that we'll refer to. Our topic this hour is unequally yoked, actually a topic that I personally am very, very interested in, considering my own marital history. And I'm very interested to hear what Dr. Greg Pupchek has to say about it. Dr. Pupchek, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And so what do we mean by this unequally? This is a term that lots of Christians have heard, but I don't know if non-Christians have heard it. What do we mean by unequally yoked?
It means when you are dating or particularly married to somebody who doesn't share your faith, or even if they share your faith in name, doesn't share the level of spiritual development that you might have. It could also mean that there is some cause of tension in the relationship around religious and spiritual issues.
I'm sure it's very common for people, especially, you know, you're of marrying age and you don't think that this is going to be a conflict, but later it is. Is this the common way that this happens? That, you know, I'm Baptist, you're Catholic, we get married, we think we're okay, but later the conflict comes up.
Yeah, it's not unusual, for example, for one of the spouses to have a conversion experience or a reversion experience. And at that point, all of a sudden, it does become an issue. Sometimes it's around holidays or other cultural factors that can be a concern. But basically, the idea is that your spouse has a different kind of worldview, frame of reference, spiritually speaking, culturally speaking, from you, and the tension that can result around that. So the phrase unequally yoked is from Scripture. And the whole verse is, do not let yourself be unequally yoked. But the reality is, many, many couples are unequally, and it's a real challenge to go to work through.
Our number, 888-318-7884, if this is an issue in your relationship, your marriage, or if you maybe there's someone in the family you'd like to help who's struggling with this, 888-318-7884. I think I'm like many of my contemporaries. Maybe this still goes on, too. I think probably it has since the, you know, the various cultural revolutions that have gone on. A lot of us kind of become either lukewarm or marginal in the practice of our faith. And then about the time the first kid gets baptized, then the faith starts to look a little bit different and you might be more serious. At that point, you are married. And I have to say, in my own marriage, my wife didn't move. She didn't change. She was not a Christian when we got married, and nothing changed. I changed, and that created struggle and difficulty starting right around that time. The first one's about to get baptized.
Yeah, and that is not unusual. It's funny, we're seeing a little bit less of that than perhaps we would have in the past, because millennials and Gen Zs tend not to be coming back to the church after a period of wandering away. It used to be that we would think of college students and young adults as spiritual seekers who would eventually want to find a home. Now they're more spiritual samplers who kind of cobble together their own faith and spirituality out of, you know, a variety of different spiritual traditions. And so we're seeing less and less of that particular dynamic you just described happening, but it still does happen pretty frequently. It feels like a betrayal for the spouse who did not convert, you know, because I signed up for, you know, this type of marriage.
Right.
And now you've come home as this raving Christian lunatic, and what am I supposed to do with you?
Right. You know,
yeah, it can be difficult to manage.
You were a secular raving lunatic 5 minutes ago, and now you're a raving Catholic lunatic.
It's just one layer of crazy that I'm just not ready to deal with, right?
Yeah, yeah. 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. So I imagine this happens in your practice. People come to you, they have this problem. How do you address it?
Well, so there are sort of two ways this plays out in relationships. The first one is that, you know, there are challenges that have to be worked through, but, you know, the couple is able to negotiate those differences and find a way to appreciate what's good about each other's perspectives and views and practices and try to support each other the best they can. The second way, and this is what we normally see both on our radio program, More to Life, and in the counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com, is that couples kind of get polarized about it, feeling like they just go back and forth trying to, you know, I either, you know, you need to convert, or I can't believe you did convert, you know, that kind of thing, where the religion becomes a major point of contention and antagonism in the relationship. What's interesting about those couples is that where religious issues are becoming the subject of ongoing hostility, it's actually never really about religion, believe it or not. When I get a call to the show, especially, or even a client brings this up, I'll always ask them, my first question is, okay, so step back for a second. I want you to imagine, let's lay aside the religious differences for just a minute. And I want you to think about your relationship overall and how the two of you make decisions in general. Would you say that when you two come at things from a completely different perspective, that you're able to see what's good about each other's position and create a new position that respects what's good about both of your perspectives? Or more likely, do you just tend to either agree to disagree, or you just go along to get along? And I would have to say almost 10 times out of 10, the person says, oh, I just usually go along to get along, or we just agree to disagree. What that points to is a failure of respect in the relationship, which is not just about being nice to each other. It's really about making the effort to try to see the truth and goodness and beauty in all the things your mate finds true, good, and beautiful. And so because there's that lack of respect, couples often aren't able to create mutually satisfying solutions. One spouse has to either capitulate or just agree to disagree. Because the other spouse just gets their way all the time. Where religion becomes a conflict then is because the religious person is suddenly unwilling to capitulate anymore on this one thing. And the other spouse doesn't know what to do with that, and it becomes a huge, almost existential crisis for the relationship. So, you know, like I said, not every couple that has religious or spiritual differences has serious conflict. But the couples who do, it's almost always about respect, not religion.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Dr. Greg Popchak is our guest, More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And we're talking a bit about being unequally yoked. If all of this is ringing a bell with you and you'd like to call, 888-318-7884. Our first caller is in Portland, Oregon, Jonathan in Portland, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio, 88.3 FM. You are up first. Jonathan, go ahead with your question for Dr. Popchak.
Hey, guys. My question was, if St. Rita was unequally...
Oh, hang on.
Being unequally yoked could be a path to sainthood if approached in the right way.
Ah, okay. So there was a little a blip there in the middle, but so was Saint Rita unequally yoked with her husband, and then the way she responded to it, does that suggest to us that that might be a path to sainthood for us? Is that what you're that? Did we get all that right?
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Popchak.
I mean, anything is a path to sainthood, but if we approach it the right way, right? So, yes, of course. But the question is really. Number one, if you're in the position to choose to have a partner that shares your faith, you're in a better place to do that. Secondly, if you are in a situation where there is conflict in the relationship about the faith, then I think seeing it in this terms of this failure of respect in the marriage gives you a different way to approach it. Because instead of just arguing about religion and whether the religion is true or not, you're able to step back and say, look, whether you agree with my faith or not, I need you to respect me as a person, and I need you to respect my views, and I need you to. We need to talk about how we can support each other in all the things that are important to each other. So, yeah, this issue is an area for growth. It's an area for holiness. It's an area for it could be a great source of sanctity. But I wouldn't say that this is the best way to go about pursuing sanctity. You know, we live in a different age than Saint Rita did, where we do have more choices about who we marry and what that marriage looks like, and what we're allowed to expect from marriage. And so I think we have to take that context into consideration.
Okay, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, I think my big takeaway from what you're saying is that in serving the God of love, it calls us to love others. And sometimes the best way to do that is to seek him in the most closely conformed relationship to what he desires. But, you know, sometimes we have limited choices or different circumstances, but it really boils down to serving him. That was my takeaway.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right, Jonathan, thank you very, very much. We're talking about being unequally yoked. Is this an issue in your marriage or in maybe the marriage of one of your children or someone else that you care about and you'd like some help from Dr. Greg Popcheck? 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Right back after this break with more Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is underwritten with support from Homeschool Connections. Teens and parents, Homeschool Connections invites you to the Life After High School online conference, October 7th to 8th. With information on Catholic universities, trade schools, and religious vocations, plus workshops, CatholicHomeschoolConference.com.
EWTN has just increased my faith so much. I am a cradle Catholic, and I thought I knew my faith very well. But when Mother Angelica passed away and it was so much in the news, I learned all about EWTN and started listening all the time. And my eyes have been opened to my faith so much.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host and our guest, radio host in his own right, a very, very fine one, Dr. Greg Popcheck, the host of More to Life mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're talking about being unequally yoked. That is, in a marriage in which the religious enthusiasm is of two different levels, or maybe the of two different religions, or maybe one is very religious, the other not religious at all. This is what we might call being unequally yoked, and it might be the source, or it might seem to be the source, of a great deal of difficulty in marriage. If you have questions in that regard, 888-318-7884. By the way, you don't have to be Catholic to call. Anybody can call. 888-318-7884. I'm sure many people are very helpful to the couple who is struggling in this regard. What do you think of the quality of the advice people get and give in this regard?
So the most common answer is, you know, be careful not to push your faith on your unchurched spouse. Don't make too much of an issue out of it. And, you know, look, I think on the surface that makes sense, right? We aren't supposed to impose our faith. We are meant to propose our faith, as St. John Paul put it. And of course, Pope Francis is a big advocate of that same approach. And it's a good approach. The problem is we've found that it makes a lot of the faithful couples or the faithful spouse in the relationship a little too skittish about sharing their faith, a little too fearful about saying, I'd like to pray with you, or would you come to church with me? And not even just stopping there, but being able to say, look, this is important to me, and I need us to figure out what we can share about this. You know, there's nothing wrong. In fact, I think there's a lot right with expecting your spouse to share in your faith as much as they are able to at the place that they're at right now. Maybe that means having regular conversations about it. Maybe that means sitting respectfully and silently while you lead the prayer. Maybe that means coming to church, sitting in the back and not participating, but come, you know, afterward having a conversation about what. But if they respect you, they should demonstrate a willingness to participate to their level of ability, just like if they had an interest that was important to them, they would have a right to expect of us to join them as best we possibly could, because that's what respect really is, that willingness to find the truth and the goodness and the beauty in all the things our mate finds true, good, and beautiful. And so our advice to the faithful spouse is, you know, don't be afraid. You know, yes, be respectful. Yes, be patient. Yes, be compassionate and empathic and sensitive. But also be assertive and expect that you have a right to be respected for this part of your relationship. I think too often we're so afraid of shoving our faith down somebody else's throat, quote unquote, that we don't do anything. And so we've actually had couples call into the show, or wives call into the show, husbands call into the show, who, you know, have been living in an unequally yoked marriage for 20 years, and will say, well, have you asked your husband or your wife to pray with you? Well, no, I didn't know I was allowed.
Oh,
right. So,
right.
You know, we get that kind of, oh, I'm not allowed. All I can do is just sit here in my quiet corner and pray for them, which you certainly should do. But then you should take the grace that you get from those prayers and go and invite them, and not just invite them, but explain why it's so important to you that they do their best to share this with you, just like they would have a right to expect you to share things that were important to them with them.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Lots of folks on the line, so I'm going to go to calls. But as you were talking, I was thinking about the great Catholic who I'm kind of a little bit of a follower of myself, Dorothy Day. And I remember the story from her life of the option that she was given by her, what we would nowadays call baby daddy, was the Catholic Church or me. You got to pick the Catholic Church or me, and she chose the church. But is that in the context of what you're saying now strikes me as unbelievably disrespectful thing to say.
Of the husband to say that to her?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, she was right to make that decision on a lot of levels. I mean, you know, spiritually, because we owe our first devotion to God, but that marriage would have been a complete disaster because he didn't respect her on any level to make that kind of a decision, demand of her.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Let's go to Northern Kentucky. Steve in Northern Kentucky, listening on 740 Sacred Heart Radio. Thanks so much, Steve, for your call. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Dr. Greg Popchak.
Yeah, you just made a great comment in reference to Day, and my question similar to that. At one time, when I grew up, I'm 67, the church emphasized very much the fact before you get married, you want to make sure that you guys have very similar faith, that you come from that same foundational background. You mentioned that Day said, hey, God comes first, my religion comes first, and you build off of that. Now, what happens in this day and age, a quick comment would be, people kind of say, well, it's kind of loosey-goosey. We'll kind of get in this thing, and we'll work it out. And you're okay, I'm okay. And the church, I thought at one time, which is called old-fashioned now, is no. You sit there, and you work this out at the front end. Now, that doesn't always happen, and I guess that's what the show is about, is what happens when you get up the creek without a paddle, and then you got to work something out. But more emphasis, I'm suggesting, and why does the church not do that, and counselors and whatever say you spend a lot of time, mixed religions and philosophies don't work real well. It's very difficult to make that work after the fact.
Dr. Popchak, so I just wanted your take on that, about marriage preparation being the place where to deal with these things.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for why, you know, the church in general does this or that, or why counselors and this. But what I can say is this, you know, I can tell you what it's supposed to be, and I can kind of invite both our listeners and any pastors or bishops or others who are involved to maybe take this to prayer. You know, marriage preparation is supposed to be a time of discerning one's relationship with the church, right? I mean, usually what happens is the couple comes to the church and expects the church to rubber stamp what they've already decided.
Right.
The way it's supposed to work, right, is that we come to the church and we say, we believe that God has called us together, But we really want to pray and discern this with you. Has God called us together to Christian marriage? Has God called us to live as, to support each other in our life as disciples of Christ and learning how to love each other the way God wants us to? And you know, you work then with the pastor, with the church to figure out what the next steps are. We're not set up to do that. We need to be set up to do that. That is what accompaniment really is all about. And so I think the challenge is, Steve is right on, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, saying to couples, don't do this, shame on you for coming here with this. It's all couples really need to be part of that process of discernment where they come to the church with kind of a humble heart that says, you know, we believe that God has called us together, but let's pray about this together and let's learn what Christian marriage is really all about and see if we're really called to that relationship with each other. And I think that there's a tendency for couples to kind of just come in and demand the sacrament.
Yeah.
I think there's a tendency for pastors, on the other hand, to be afraid to deny them the sacrament because then everybody and their uncle's going to be mad at them for something. And they're going to, you know, I will have chased someone away from the faith. Where I think the answer really has to be that all of us have a more discipleship-based approach to marriage preparation and marriage enrichment and marriage support, where we're able to say, you know, this is not just about what you guys want. This is about us discerning together what God is calling you to. And it's a specific mission of spending your life learning a particular vision of love. Do you really want that? And here's what it's going to take to get that. I think once we're, if we're able to do that in that more pastoral way, then that message will go down a little bit easier. I mean, people won't like it, but it won't be, it's not the same thing as, you know, shame on you for coming here and having different faiths. That's not going to work.
No.
But there is a pastoral way to engage this issue that would actually help couples start to work through these things before it comes back and bites them later.
Steve, thanks. Thanks very much for that question. Got to keep moving because there's lots of folks on the line. Dr. Greg Popcheck, very popular, of course. We're talking about being unequally yoked. Your questions welcome. 888-318-7884. We go now to Dallas, Texas. Christine in Dallas, listening on Guadalupe Radio, 910 AM. Christine, go ahead with your question for Dr. Popcheck.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. My husband and I believe, are destined to be husband and wife. We had excellent marriage training. And at the time, my husband was very devout. He was a daily mass goer twice a week, and he went to confession, and he prayed the rosary. And but his formation is very poor. He tends to, if things go wrong, it's God's fault. If he doesn't get what he wants, it's God. God is a scapegoat. I don't say anything. I don't know how to help him where he is on the path, and I'm not in the same place.
Christine, you said you don't say anything. Why don't you say anything?
Because it makes it, it would make it worse. I kind of know why. We have he has a very, very, very disabled child who is now 22, but was disabled even in the womb. And I think it's a red button. There's a lot of guilt. This child is impeccably cared for between us and his mother. We were both annulled. And we have a system of care for him, but it's very traumatic. It's 24/7. We never get respite. It's his constant worry is what will happen to him. He's nonverbal and, at risk for, it's horrible because we don't trust him with anyone with anyone.
No, and I understand.
So there's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of guilt involved in all of that, and it's God's fault.
Well, but so you gave me all that information in response to my question, why don't you say something? And you said it would make it worse. So what would make it worse exactly? Why would that make it worse?
He tends to spite because it gives him an opportunity to spiral down into the hole.
My point to you, though, is
punishes himself.
Christine, let me jump in here. Your husband is depressed, and he's been depressed for a long time. He's got a lot of serious issues to work out personally, spiritually, emotionally, and you tiptoeing around that depression isn't helping anybody, right? To love somebody is to work for their good. And I appreciate, I think it's important to be sensitive in the face of this kind of pain, in the face of these kinds of wounds. It's important to be empathic. It's important to be caring. But it's also as the Christian person in that household, you know, it's your call to say, I love you too much to continue to let you wallow in this pain. we're going to have to work through this. And if you and I can't work through it together on our own, we're going to have to work through it together with a good counselor. But I love you too much to let you stay here hating God and resenting me, you know, whatever, your life or your son or hating yourself or whatever it is. We need to work through this. And God put you there to be that person to call him onto that. So my challenge to you is to get off the phone and start having those conversations that you've been avoiding for all these years, because that is what it means to exercise the prophetic mission of your baptism and to lovingly call your husband to deal with his wounds and deal with his pain and be willing to walk with him through that, even when it gets a little upsetting or scary, and get the help that you need to do that if you can't do it on your own. It's a big job, and I know that you're probably scared to go do it, but I want you to know that with God's grace, there is nothing too big for you. You can handle this if you bring this to the Lord in prayer, and you bring this to your husband honestly, and you face this together.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. We're right at the break. We'll come back with more calls for Dr. Greg Popcheck. We're talking about being unequally yoked. Is there a religious tension in your marriage? If you'd like some help with that, 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Janet Williams. Please join us for Women of Grace tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest, the host of More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, and counselor extraordinaire. And we're talking about being unequally yoked, and something is coming quite into focus. Now we're halfway through the program, and I feel like it's starting to dawn on me that what you mean when you say that it's not about religion, a lot of this religious conflict. There's something else that needs to be addressed.
No, I mean, so our previous caller, Christine, you know, is a perfect example of that. You know, she's saying that there's religious tension in her relationship because her husband's mad at God and that she's afraid to bring it up. And when I asked her, again, for listeners who are just tuning in, what that was all about, you know, she went into a very long history about her husband having a developmentally delayed son from adulthood, who is now an adult,
But he's been angry at God really ever since about how difficult it is to care for this child and what will happen and how they can never get a break. And he's mad at God for not showing up for that. You know, this man has been depressed for a long time, and she's been afraid to help him through that. And you know, this is being played out in the religious sphere, but it's really got very little to do with religion per se. And so, you know, being able to face these things head on and say, look, you know, I love you too much to stay in this place and to let you stay in this place. And, you know, I love you enough to work through this with you and, you know, face this anger and this pain and this hurt, these wounds with you and heal them. And if you can't do it on your own, then getting the help that you need to get it. But allowing somebody that you love to sit there in that kind of pain isn't loving at all. And so my challenge to the faithful spouse is use the grace that God is giving you to have the courage to say, we need to deal with these things.
And if you want to call and ask about that in your own relationship, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Up next, an anonymous caller. Anonymous, we're glad to have you. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of Dr. Greg's. I have lots of his books, and I listen to him and Lisa all the time. So really glad to get to talk to him.
We're glad to have you. Go ahead.
So, I've been married about 14 years. My husband and I were both raised Catholic, but at the time of our marriage, we were not in the church. And I've been coming back, and in a big way recently, probably in the past year. And we have a 10-year-old son, and we got him, my husband's been supportive of us getting him his sacraments. So we started coming back to the Catholic Church. He was kind of digging in his heels, but I was sort of pushing him, and he agreed, but he doesn't really participate in
Mass. My husband was digging in his heels,
but we were going to an evangelical, but he really doesn't have a faith in Jesus, so he struggles with this. But he was supportive of my son coming in. But now what I'm noticing is when we go to Mass, my husband doesn't participate. So he doesn't say the prayers. He doesn't sing. My son is now starting to not participate as well now. And I have asked him to pray with me because he's agreed to convalidate our marriage in the church, which is wonderful. I'm so excited. We went through the marriage course together, and they asked us to, like, pray together and stuff, and he was like, I just can't. I'm sorry. He's like, you can ask me to pray for something for you, but I cannot pray with you. So I was like, okay. So he's been, you know, coming along.
Does he explain what that's about? What's the resistance there? Why not? What does it mean to him?
He'll say, I'm just not there, honey. I'm sorry. I just can't go there.
Right, but where is he?
There.
Yeah, but that's not really an answer. And so I'm challenging you because that's the question you need to be asking him, right? Because saying I'm not there doesn't say where he is, and he needs to have an honest conversation about where he is and what's getting in the way here. It's okay that he's where he's at, but he needs to be able to walk through that with you and really answer your questions honestly. And the passive aggressive stuff at Mass is not okay. I think it's okay to challenge him on that and say, look, if you have issues with church, if there's something going on here that you disagree with, that you don't like, that you don't understand, that makes you angry, I want to hear it. I think I'll do that with you. I love you enough to go through all that stuff with you. But what I can't stand is when you husband, the man that I love, act like a child and just passively aggressively stand there and don't do things. So we can either work through this with each other, or we can work through it with a counselor, or we can work through it in some other way, but I can't have you do that. So can you be honest with me and be the man I love and use your words and work through this with me like a grown up?
Oh, wow.
I stunned you into silence. What would happen if you said that?
Is that possibly the end of the world to say that?
Well, I mean, it just seems like when I approach these conversations with him, I get a big roadblock and kind of like the tone underneath it is like, stop, I'm not talking about this with you. You know what I mean? Like, I am doing as much as I can for you about this.
Yeah, let's take it off of religion for just a second. Let's talk about the rest of your relationship. Have you ever tried to go deeper in a more, with regard to general intimacy, communication, talking about feelings, trying to work through needs and problems together in a more deeper way? What does he tend to do with that?
You know, it's kind of similar. If he's really uncomfortable or maybe feels out of control, yeah, I mean, he definitely takes kind of more of a dominant role.
Yeah, so that's not, so this is another example. It's not a religious issue. This is something that actually permeates your whole relationship, but you've learned to accept that in the rest of the marriage. Because you've come back into your faith and God is giving you his grace and helping you know what you're worth as a woman of God, as his beautiful daughter, you're suddenly finding the strength to stand up for yourself and realize that, you know what, I really deserve a little more here. And he doesn't know what to do with that. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not saying that he won't, you know, doesn't respect you. I'm just saying he's not used to this stronger, more passionate woman that he's got on his hands, who's been, you know, willing to just sort of tiptoe around this, you know, this discomfort that is at the center of the relationship. And I think that you're going to have to gently approach that in general and say, look, you know, this really ultimately isn't about marriage, but I've kind of made some connections here that anytime I talk to you and bring out, you know, make you feel a little uncomfortable, you always choose your comfort zone over me. And the religion thing is a huge example of that, but there are about a million other things I could cite. And, you know, I'm tired of playing second fiddle to your comfort level. I want all of you, and I want to give all of myself to you, and we need to figure out how to work through that.
Okay. I'm grateful that he's willing to do the convalidation and go through that.
But I would suggest to you that you're not ready to do that. Let me just stop you, because I don't think you're ready to do that until you address this first. Because you to do that convalidation means that he's standing up before God and promising you to be your spiritual partner and helping you become everything that God created you to be in this life and to get to heaven in the next. And he's not capable of doing that. So to kind of pressure him into a convalidation is to force him to make promises that he doesn't intend to keep with you. So you really need to be working through this on the road to getting your marriage convalidated.
Okay, yeah, because I've just been wanting to get back to communion. I haven't taken the bread in years.
And I think that's a tremendous sacrifice, and it really is a tremendous. But let that ache that you have for the Eucharist, that is also an ache for the healing that the Eucharist wants to give you and this marriage. God doesn't want you to settle for the impoverished love that you've been living in. That's what the promise of the Eucharist holds out for you. And as painful as it is for you to abstain from the Eucharist for now, it's even going to be more painful for you to see that what you've been kind of settling for, God wants to show you how much love you really deserve and that he wants to give you, so that when you are able to receive, you really understand the free, total, faithful, and fruitful God, the love that God has for you in the Eucharist, and you experience it in the sacrament of your marriage.
Anonymous, I'm going to leave it there. I hope that that's helpful to you. We have to take a quick break. So we're going to take that break, and we'll come right back with more calls. For Dr. Greg Popcheck on being unequally yoked, is there religious tension in the house? If you'd like to call and ask about that, you're welcome. 888-318-7884.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN Global Catholic Network is the largest religious media network in the world. 11 global TV channels, English and Spanish radio networks with over 500 AM and FM radio affiliates, one of the largest Catholic websites in the world, dozens of podcasts every week, social media, electronic and print news services, and EWTN publishing. EWTN is the global Catholic network. For more about EWTN, visit EWTN.com.
Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage? And ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Our guest is Dr. Greg Pupchak, the author of a whole bunch of very fine books on marriage, on parenting, on family, on dealing with your stress, all those kinds of things. You can find all of his books at Amazon.com or wherever they sell good Catholic books. If you're interested in this conversation today, you might be interested in particular in his book, Praying For and With Your Spouse. And if you just type that in, I found this out. If you just type that into Google, Praying For and With Your Spouse, this book comes up. It's the only thing that comes up. So you'll land right on it. Are you shocked?
I said, what? No, not really. No.
I really got to ask you, Dr. Pupchak, though, try not to pull your punches with people. I really feel like you're going easy on people today.
Well, you know, look, I think, and I do apologize if I'm coming on too strong, but I think it's so important. No, but I think it's important for people to understand that it's not enough. You know, I think as Catholics, we have a tendency to settle for going through the motions of things. You know, like our last caller was saying, I'm just so glad he's willing to convalidate the marriage. Well, but he's not really. You know, he's not willing to go to Mass. He's not willing to pray. He's not willing to really support the sacraments for her child. But he's willing to show up for one day and sign a document. That's nothing. You're settling for an illusion. And so I would rather be straight with people and say, look, this, if you want what the convalidation is really going to give you, then do the work so that you can get what the convalidation wants to give you. But don't settle for just jumping through a hoop and signing a document, because that means nothing.
Indeed, and I do think sometimes, I mean, from my own experience, not you speak as an expert, I just have to speak experientially, but you can get to the place in the marriage where you think this is as good, it's just never going to get better than this mess that we've got, the two of us, that we've made of this. And that's not true. There really is hope of genuine, real healing if you believe in it and you're willing to kind of put the work in.
Absolutely. God wants to give us that healing. That's what the sacraments are all about. The sacraments are all about healing. And so, you know, I'll say it back to our previous caller again. If you have that ache for the Lord in the Eucharist, you know, let that ache for the Lord in the Eucharist be the motivation to receive the gift of healing that God wants to give you in your marriage. Don't be afraid.
All right. Let's go to Patricia in Española, New Mexico, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Patricia, go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Pupchak.
Hello, yes. So I've been married for 21 years. We have two children, which they're already adults, 20 and 19. We'd go to Mass every week as a family. I became president of St. Vincent de Paul for a few years while my kids were growing up, so they could start helping and knowing what it's about giving. We made the ACTS retreat. We helped with the retreat. The last 2 years, he stopped going to church, my husband. So when he stopped going to church, kids didn't want to go to church.
Patricia, what happened in the last 2 years?
He was going to get involved with Knights of Columbus. He went to two meetings. I don't know what happened at those meetings. When he came home, he said, I'm done. And I asked him, what do you mean you're done? He says, I'm done. I'm done with Catholic. I'm done with the religion. And he never told me exactly what had happened. And he meant it.
So I'm assuming you asked him.
Yes.
Patricia, I'm sorry. So did you ask him then what happened?
I did. Okay. I said, well, what happened?
And he says,
I don't want to talk about it because it makes me angry.
Okay, so let me back off. Let's leave religion out of this for a second. Let's put religion aside for a minute. Let me just ask you, in the history of your marriage, okay, you guys have been married for 21 years. In other situations where your husband gets really upset about something, does he tend to shut down there too?
Yes.
And when he shuts down, are you able to break through that? Or has that just become a big block that you're never able to get through it and talk about it again?
Yeah, I ask. Okay. Doesn't answer.
So this is another example of what I'm saying. Right. But this is another example of what I'm saying. This is not a religious issue. Right. This is an issue that has to do with your husband's inability to deal with uncomfortable feelings and know how to manage conflict well. And it's playing out in the religion because the religion is important to you. And God is calling you through your faith to heal this wound in your relationship. Okay. And I want you as a faithful spouse to have the courage to say to your husband, I love you too much to let this wall stand between us anymore. When you get upset about things, you tend to shut down on me and you shut me out. And that's not what a marriage is supposed to be. And it's affected our marriage. It's affected our children's faith. And it's affecting me. And it's time for us to figure out how to fix this either on our own or with a counselor. But I'm not going to let it stand anymore because I love you too much. And so I want to just challenge you to either start working through this on your own with a book like my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, or seek professional counseling support, which I think you're going to probably need to do. But you know, this is magnified by the religious differences, the religious issues, but it's zeroing in on a problem that's existed in the marriage from the beginning that God wants to heal. And if you have the courage to bring that to him in prayer and address that with your husband, I believe that God will heal that, but you got to be willing to do that work.
Right. I understand that.
Well, thanks, Patricia. Thanks very much. I'm going to try to get as many on as I can.
And again, it's not a religious issue, right? I mean, it's played out in religion.
Right.
It's ultimately not a religious issue.
That's a pretty hard pattern to deny at this point. And I think that's not an insight that people usually get, especially when they get a kind of spiritual advice on dealing with this. There are many, many spiritual things that you could do, but I actually recognize this from my own life as well. You can spiritualize to the detriment of just facing, come on, there's some realities here that you need to deal with that need a remedy that is not merely prayer.
That's right. Well, the way I like to put it is this, you know, it's not that prayer is useless. Prayer is always effective. Prayer is always efficacious, but here's what it is. Prayer is gas in your tank. Okay, but if you've got a tank full of gas, but an engine that's fallen out or doesn't work, it's not going to get you anywhere. Yeah. There's a human part to us where we have to learn to cooperate with or participate with the grace that God is giving us. God could be pouring out grace into your life, but if you don't have the skills to take advantage of it, then you're not able to do what you need to do. And so by just spiritualizing this problem, it prevents people from seeing where the real healing has to take place so that they can take advantage of all that spiritual work they're doing, all the prayers that they're giving, all the grace they're receiving. And so that's why I think it's important to hit this so hard that God does want to bring healing to those parts of your relationship that you've been settling for 5, 10, 20, 50 years. And if we don't, if we just resist that temptation to treat this as purely a spiritual problem and see what is the human, what is the relational element here that's blocking the grace, then we can finally break through.
Let's go to an anonymous caller. I don't have a location. So, Anonymous, are you there with us?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
All right, go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Popcheck.
Okay, so I have a really close friend, and praise God, he converted to Christianity a few years ago. But he's dating a girl from his work, and they've had a physically intimate relationship, and I think that now they're living chastely. But he was recognizing that she's just not, like, she's not religious, and he's talked to her about it. She doesn't really have an interest, I think, in becoming Christian. And he asked me, like, should I stay with this girl? And I feel that it's not my place to make that call, but I do feel as a friend that I have an obligation to give him my honest opinion. I don't really know how I feel about it because in my own life I've had a really hard time with bad relationships from my past where I was unequally yoked, I guess, with those women. And I had a hard time giving up on it because I had this feeling like, well, maybe something will just like miraculously happen that they'll have a conversion. So I'm finding it difficult because it's a really difficult thing to say, like, yeah, you should break up with her. I don't know if that's the answer, but I was curious your perspective. What should I tell him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a really challenging situation to be in, right? And obviously, I'm, as a counselor, I'm in this situation all the time. You know, Dr. Greg, what do you think I should do? You know, and honestly, my opinion doesn't matter, and neither does yours. What the most important thing we can do to support somebody who asks us a question like that is recognize the power of a good question in return. So, for example, to be able to say to your friend, you know, why are you asking me that? You know, what is it that you know, what's going through your head about the relationship that makes you feel like you makes you feel insecure in it, or makes you feel like it's not the best relationship for you? What is it that you want from a relationship? How is it that you feel that this relationship isn't measuring up to that? What do you think you'd have to do to try to evaluate whether this relationship really was the one for you? You know, asking questions that lead a person to figure this out for themselves and really see what God is doing in their life. When you pray about this, you might ask him, you know, what do you feel as you're praying about this? How do you feel that God is, where do you feel God's calling you in your life? And do you feel like this relationship serves that or not, right? See, the power of a really good question helps him think more deeply about his situation. Instead of telling him what you think, because, you know, if he listens to you, then he blames you if it doesn't go well. If he doesn't listen to, you know, if he doesn't listen to you, then he just gets to say, well, you're just this big judgy guy who's always telling me what to do. But if you ask him these kinds of questions that make him probe his own life and what God is doing in his life more deeply, you know, he's forced to kind of confront those doubts in an honest way and work through it on his own. And he has you to thank for walking him through that process that helped him discern that more effectively. So I would just really encourage you to pray about the kinds of questions that you think, you know, you would want somebody to ask you if you were in that situation, and make a list of them and just sort of keep them in the back of your mind, and then, you know, respond with those kinds of questions whenever he challenges you. And, you know, I would even just directly say to him, you know, ultimately, it's my opinion doesn't really matter here. You have to be able to stand before God and feel good about whatever it is that you decide. You know, my job is to be your friend through this whole thing. So I'm just going to ask you these questions to try to, you know, help you think through it. And I want to be here with you in it.
Anonymous, thanks. I'm going to try to get to another caller in, so I'm going to go as quick as I can. Amy is listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio here in California. Amy, go ahead with your question for Dr. Popchak.
Sure. So I am Catholic, and my husband is Jewish, and I definitely sort of let him be the, quote, leader of the home. Like, we really aspire to that. And it's hard for me in terms of raising our children Catholic, right? He's supportive in the sense that he lets me take them to church, but that's about where it stops. We definitely celebrate.
There's a difference between tolerant and supportive. I mean, let's just call it out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And so he's a kind man. He's a loving man. He's a good husband in all other ways. But this one's a challenging one for me. Our kids are young adults, like they're teens, I should say, 12 and 14. And I really need some thoughts on how to sort of I need him to. I need my kids
well,
to
see him. What do you do spiritually together?
We do celebrate Jewish holidays, and my kids understand the relevance of that. I don't know. We do pray. We pray.
Okay, well,
we say grace at dinner. We say grace at dinner as a family.
Okay. Do you guys? I mean, this is all really good stuff. Let me ask you. I mean, so have you talked to him about what you need from him spiritually?
We've been married for 15 years. Yes. Yes. I guess maybe I'm not saying in a way that he's hearing, right? So.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you've said. So, like, I mean, when you say
either.
Whatever he said, what's his reaction? What's his reaction to it? I mean, is he open? Is he trying to be understanding? Is he more hostile? Or what's his?
He's pretty passive. He's pretty passive. I think there's a piece of him feels that the kids are picking their faith, right? It's like they have to pick. If he leads too much and encourages them to follow. We take them to catechism and what have you. He allows, you know, he's letting me sort of guide the faith in the family, but he's pretty passive, I have to be honest.
Is this in general or specifically about religion?
Some things he's pretty passive about too, but for the most part, he'll be a leader when it comes to other things like schooling, et cetera.
Okay. Well, I mean, the whole thing, I want to just kind of this basic assumption about him being the leader of the home. You know, that kind of comes from the idea of in Scripture, basically, what is for Christians, Christ is the head of the home, and the husband is supposed to be kind of be the first servant, if you will, in the household. And a lot of times, what happens with men is we set them up to lead, but they've never been taught to lead, and he doesn't know how to lead you in your Christian faith. So you're going to have to be very direct about what kind of support you need from him in order to come together more directly on this.
Amy, you can probably hear the music. we're playing them off. It's like being at the Oscars. So we're going to leave it there, Amy. Thank you. Thanks to everybody who called. It sounds like this was a very much needed show. There are lots of people with these kind of questions.
We should do it again.
Yeah, well, okay, sure. I always like it when you come around. Dr. Greg Popchek's our guest. You can hear him mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. You can find his books wherever good Catholic books are sold. The one we've been talking about a bit today has been Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. But he's got a whole bunch of them. Dr. Popchek, thank you very, very much.
Thanks, and come over to CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our telecounseling practice as well.